Good morning and welcome to worship this lovely Sunday morning. We have a few announcements as we begin. First one is, we ask that you would gather your communion items. You will need something for the bread, something for the cup. You might want to bring a Bible to the table and perhaps a candle if that has become your custom. And place yourself someplace that is comfortable to sit for a bit. Let's see. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we hope you're having a happy and safe weekend. And the weather is perfect for sitting in your backyard and having a fine time social distancing from the world. The call has gone out, and there is important information in the call regarding our return to worship, hopefully on June 7th. That would be the week after next. The most important thing you will read in the call is that you must make a reservation now to attend worship. Yes, it's like your favorite expensive restaurant or a wedding. You must make a reservation. Both services will be the same. The 8:15 and the 10:10 services will be exactly the same, mirrors of each other. We have room for 50 at each service, so you need to call or email the church office to get your reservation in. Once a service has reached its limit, if you call, well, I'll put you in the other service. So please pay attention to that. And next week is Pentecost. So when you're gathering your things for worship, wear something red. We'll be watching. Don't forget that. We can see everything. Are there any other announcements? Any other announcements? Then we'll begin. Well, thanks for saying something there, Dennis.
I stood up. I mean, give me a break. What? And that. So, last Thursday, someone had a birthday. And that.
Last Thursday?
So, I want us.
You mean today?
To sing.
If you're talking about
Sunday
anybody
morning, it's bright and sunshiny.
Right.
I'm listening to the service and. Last Thursday was Pastor Karen's birthday.
That's exactly true.
So let us sing Happy Birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Karen. Happy birthday.
Remembering the correct date when I didn't. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, everybody. And now let's begin our worship service with the prelude. Kathy?
Thank you.
Grateful hearts need no special season to offer thanks to God.
Life abundant is itself reason for praise.
In the face of love's mysteries, given such bountiful expression, what gifts of thanks have we?
We have gifts enough for praise, our hands, our strength, our singing hearts.
Let us give thanks to our God.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our opening hymn this morning is number 585, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Let us pray. O precious and abundant God, we give thanks for everything that you deliver to us this weekend. We're thankful for our lives, for the gracious beauty you have bestowed upon this land, and for all those who we remember this weekend, who brought us great joy, hope, and sacrifice. O God, we come to you with humbleness as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be to the Father,
And this morning we have as our special music Jim and Sydney Oliver.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was lovely. And now we come to our time of joys and concerns. Steve Huckfeldt's Uncle Ron died this past week, and Steve and Cindy are on their way to Florida to be with Steve's family during this time. Cal is moving around better, and Monica should be home later this week. Dorothy Smith is now at MGM, and her phone number that is in the church directory has been hooked up at her new place. So call her, give her a call. She would enjoy that very much. Mike Ward had another chemotherapy treatment, and he has had a very good week. And we also want to say happy anniversary to Randy, Sue, and Dawn, who had an anniversary this past week. Are there other joys or concerns to share? Teachers and parents, it's getting close to the end, and how shall we say this? Patience is wearing thin for everybody. So please remember our students and our teachers and all of our parents. Let's join together in prayer. Merciful God, you are our peace and our power. We thank you this day for your mighty acts of creation and your mighty acts of deliverance. Maker of heaven and earth, maker of all humankind, you enable us to pass over from despair into hope, from loneliness into community, and from sorrow into everlasting joy. We thank you this day for the signs and the signals of your amazing grace wherever they are found. In the wild laughter of children, in the hard work of reconciliation, in the morning lake mists floating in the still air, in bread that is broken and shared. And we thank you for your Son Jesus. He lived and died and rose again and showed us the way of love. Holy God, we offer you our thanks and ask that in your mercy you would hear our prayers for all who are weary and for all who are hurt, for victims of violence and greed, for victims of bigotry and indifference, for victims of sickness and unemployment around our world and in our community here in Casper. Sustain and strengthen all of your children, O God, for this we know. Wherever people suffer unattended, your body is broken. We are your church in the power of your Spirit, yet, God, sometimes we are half afraid to believe. And so we pray for the will to love as Christ loved. We pray for the will to stand up tall and let the good news of your eternal and steadfast love sound out from us so loudly that it will shatter any wall and pierce the hardest, coldest of hearts. Help us to speak the kind word and to offer our compassion to each other. Help us to listen. Teach us, Redeemer God, the silence of humility, the silence of wisdom, and the silence of love. Teach us the silence of faith that speaks without words. Teach us to silence our own stubborn hearts so that we may hear the moving of your Spirit within us, so that we may feel and know your presence among us here and now and always. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
That we've been told that there is our chance to be closer to God. The bread and the cup symbolize the big sacrifice that he made for all of us. But it's important for us to understand that even without the bread and the cup, God's sacrifice for us is everlasting and is with us each and every day, each and every moment, and each and every second. God's love for each one of us is greater than anything. God gives us hope that this pandemic will be over with. And the communion that we share brings us all together as one to praise him. Let us sing our communion hymn, number 393, One Bread, One Body.
Blessing which we bless.
We are one body in this one, Lord. Grain for the fields, scattered and grown, gathered to one for all, one bread, one body.
And on the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, he gave thanks, and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me." And after they were done eating, he took a cup. And said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is for you. As often as you drink this cup, remember me."
Well, loving God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and nourish our souls. We thank you for all that you have given us, and that we know you are with us every day as we go forth, that we are never alone, that you are always with us. Please bless this bread and this cup so that we may continue showing the world your love and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I read an article this week that the scouts would not be able to place small American flags on the graves of veterans in veteran cemeteries because of COVID-19. And this saddened me, not only for the fact that there wouldn't be a flag for this person who gave their life for our freedom, but it also saddened me that a long-standing tradition could easily begin to disappear. Because once you stop doing something on a regular basis, it's no longer habit. And so you have a tendency to forget about it. You have a tendency to say, I'll catch up and do that later on. You see, sometimes that's like our offering and tithes. We got so used to seeing the plate passed in front of us where we could put our check, our dollars, or our coin, and our pledge card in front of us. It was always habit because we were here almost every Sunday. And we haven't been here every Sunday for a long, long time. So we've gotten out of the habit of giving our offering and tithes. So I'm asking you to not give up on tradition, to close your eyes and think about that plate being passed in front of you. And at that time, open your eyes and give your gift. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offering.
"'Twas a life filled with silent expression, without hope, what the shell of a man. Then the hand with a nail print stretched downward, just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. There's a room filled with sad faces. Without hope, death has wrapped him in gloom. But at the sight of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can be sealed in a tomb, and the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. I will praise Him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference to me." Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Raised Him above, we have
O loving Father, bless these tithes and offerings and give us the knowledge and the strength to use these to the best of our ability to spread your love. In these things we ask. Amen.
Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. And our second lesson is from John 17, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. So the majority of the women, the disciples' women, at the School of Theology at Claremont in just east of Los Angeles in 1980-something, early 80s, most of them were in their 40s to 60s, which is great now. 62 is wonderful. I'll claim it, name it, and celebrate it. Yay. But back then, the women I went to school with were in their 40s to 60s, and they had raised their families, they were active in their church, and they had come to seminary through what was then called CWF. And I was an anomaly at the time because I came to seminary through CYF, youth group, high school youth group. Not many women went to seminary right out of college back then, and that was more common with the men, or the boys, as we like to call them, than the women. And I will, right now, confess my sin and beg your pardon that it took me a while to appreciate the work of what we now call Disciples Women, or DW. There's an old joke, you know, that if we all end up in hell, it's going to be all right because the disciples' women will have a bake sale, a yard sale, and they will find a way to air condition the place. It used to be funny. Especially on a really hot day in Texas, it's funny. Anyway, disciples' women get things done, and they are busy about the business of the church. It said on their website, disciples' women is not the only channel through which women can take part in the church, take part in the work of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, but it is the oldest. Disciples' women grew out of the Christian Women's Board of Missions, which began in 1874, to support missionary work around the world. And it's important to remember where we come from. Disciples' women have always been about the work of mission around the world, in our country, and in our community. The way that mission has been accomplished has changed over the years, but the goal is still the same. These days, you will find disciples' women working steadily to end human trafficking, hunger, and poverty. You will find them traveling to meet our global mission partners around the world, to learn about our work of healing God's broken world. You will find them coming back and telling their story and teaching us how we can help these places. You will hear them studying hospitality, justice, mental illness, what it means to be family, postpartum depression, the sacredness of art, freedom, eco-justice, poverty, purpose and call, all within a biblical framework and a biblical context. And you will also still find disciples' women around the world filling black blessing boxes, even though some people just write a check. Today, some people write a check, but there are some who still drop their coins in the box. It has seemed to me that the blessing boxes, the literal boxes, have been one of the greatest teaching tools and spiritual disciplines that those amazing women came up with all those years ago. Blessing boxes were started to help fund the mission of the church, and as a way to acknowledge that we live in grateful response to the one who made us. To live with gratitude, to live in gratitude. They were to focus our attention on God and our responsibility to share God's blessing with others. For years, many women who kept a blessing box in their home, they continued to drop coins and bills in that little box in order to mark a kindness or a gift, a Thanksgiving, a birth date, the day the sun finally came out. These women have allowed their lives to be shaped and formed by God into a life of gratitude. The practice of dropping the coin in the box, of remembering the blessing, giving thanks over and over and over again, it changes our eyesight. It changes how we see the world and the people around us. It changes our hearts, and it changes us. We become grateful. We become open to the ways of God. All of us should have a blessing box or a week of compassion box on our family tables. I mentioned disciples' women today because the psalm I read this morning is Psalm 67, and our women should recognize it. Part of Psalm 67 has been recited at the end of disciples' women meetings around our denomination for generations. The disciples' women benediction is this: God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving health among all nations, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Their benediction echoes Psalm 67 nearly word for word. It is a community psalm of thanksgiving, which itself begins with an echo of the priestly benediction Aaron and his sons were to give the congregation of Israel. We find it in Numbers. In chapter 6, we read, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the Israelites. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them.'" Psalm 67 takes this priestly blessing of Israel and extends it out into the world so that the blessing of God now reaches out to all the nations. Now, God's salvation is for all. As God's people, we have received God's blessing. Clint McMahon is a professor of biblical interpretation at Eden Seminary in St. Louis. He says, God's blessing is inseparable from God's presence or God's face, and ultimately from a knowledge of God's way. We are God's people, and God's presence, God's face, shines upon us. God is with us. We know God's way, and so we ask that God would continue to bless us. We are a people who are richly blessed. We are abundantly blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. And some of you right now can even hear Bing Crosby asking you to count your blessings one by one. I know you can. I can. All of us are blessed beyond measure. And so, why do we ask for more? Why do we ask for God's continued blessings for more? For our own prosperity? Guess you'd have to ask who defines that word, but there are many who say, yes, exactly so. God will bless you with prosperity if you send a check. If you pray this exact prayer, if you get up close to the TV, God will bless you with bigger and better blessings. God will bless you with more and more and more. There's many who say that. But the psalmist says different. The psalmist asks God's blessing, God's continued presence, so that, not so that we'll get more, but so that God's way may be known. God's way is the way of justice. The way of justice is the way of peace. The way of peace is the way of wholeness, which is the way God intended for this creation and this world to be. This is why we ask for God's continued blessing, so that we might make the way of God known. It's not about me. It's not about us. If we are only concerned with ourselves and filling our pews and taking care of our own, we are no better than a country club. But we are the church. We are God's people. And here, it is entirely about God and God's love for the world. We are blessed so that we may make the way of justice, peace, and wholeness known. So how do we do that? How do we make God's way known upon the earth? How do we make God's saving power and saving health known among all nations. How does the First Christian Church of Casper make God's way known here in this city and among all nations? Well, it's time for us to start thinking about that again as we begin the process of reopening our building and returning to worshiping together in one place. It's time to think about being church again together. Yes, things will be different here. When we gather together, it will look and feel different for a while. Perhaps we will not be able to attend the service of our choice, although I hope that won't be much of a problem. And remember, you're going to have to make a reservation by calling the church office. But we need to begin turning our attention again to ask, what are we being called to become? What are we being called to do and be in this new day? What are we being called to become? Who are we being called to become? What are we being called to do and be in this new day? Last week at the regional board meeting, Reverend Vanetta Golfin Wilkerson, the moderator of our region, asked, who are we to be as the church now and in the next 3 years? Who are we to be now as the church and in the next 3 years? She invites all congregations in the region to discern this question, to ponder this question using Isaiah 64, 1 through 4, asking, what is ours to do as followers of Jesus during such a time as this? Anybody remember what Isaiah 61 is? You do, you just don't realize it. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. See, it's familiar already. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, because God has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display God's glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. What is ours to do as followers of Jesus in such a time as this? Together we will ponder this, along with other congregations around our region. As we do this, remember, as a people and as a church, together or apart, you are blessed. You are abundantly blessed so that you may make God's way known. You're not a country club. You are the beloved people of God. Together, apart, wherever you find yourselves, you are the church, and it's just about time to get back to business. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are your church. We are a blessed people, and for this we are continually thankful. We also ask that you would continue to shine your face upon us so that together we may make your way known throughout the earth, so that we may make your saving health known among all the nations. Amen. And our last hymn for this morning is number 687, In Christ There Is No East or West.
In Christ there is no east or west, in Him no south or north, but one great validity of love throughout the whole wide earth. In Christ shall true hearts everywhere bear high communion find. His service is the golden cord, close binding humankind. Join hands, disciples of the faith, whatever your race may be. All children of the living God are surely kin to me. In Christ now meet both east and west, in Him meet south and north. All loving hearts are
be sure to read your call this week. There is lots of important information in that. Next week is Pentecost. We'll expect you to be dressed and decked out in red as we worship together one more time, hopefully, across the computer airwaves, cloud waves, I guess you could call it, cyber waves. Pick a wave. Y'all have a good week. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as we go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.